This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm Carla Pereira, KC1HSX, and these are our stories for Friday, October 18th. ARRL is launching a new magazine titled On the Air in January 2020. Published on a bi-monthly basis, On the Air will offer new and beginning to intermediate level radio amateurs a fresh approach to exploring radio communication. The goal of this new magazine is to be a vital resource in helping new and newer radio amateurs get active and involved in radio communications. The planning included an extensive national-level study of new amateur radio licensees, identifying their motivations for getting licensed and their experiences of getting started. A focus group responded positively to a trial sample edition of the magazine. The first issue will be introduced as a new ARRL membership benefit. Effective November 1st, when eligible U.S. radio amateurs join ARRL or renew their memberships, they will be prompted to select the print magazine of their choice, On the Air or QST. Current members receiving the print edition of QST upon renewal may choose to continue receiving the monthly print edition of QST or the print edition of the bi-monthly On the Air. All ARRL members, including international members, will be able to access digital editions of both QST and On the Air. Members who already access QST on the web or from the mobile app will be able to access QST and On the Air starting in January. By all credible and reliable accounts, the state of California has not turned its back on amateur radio as an emergency communication resource, nor have established repeater owners been asked to remove their equipment from state-owned sites unless they pay sizable fees. The California controversy, inflamed by a viral YouTube video, stemmed from a California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection communication telling a repeater owner or group that amateur radio equipment would have to be removed from a state-owned site or vault if the owner determined the cost was too great to proceed with a formal application to keep it there. Shasta County Sheriff Tom Bosenko has stated that the situation has been wildly blown out of proportion. He reported that Jim Price, the Communications Center Operations Officer for the State Office of Emergency Services, explained to him that the matter is not a new one, and the issue of repeater equipment in state radio vaults has been under discussion for at least 5 years. Bosenko said, quote, "This gets down to authorization for vault space, clearances, and authorization to access equipment in the vault, as well as contract agreements for the equipment to be in the vaults. The matter of cost and who will bear the cost for contracts and vault space has also been an issue for years," unquote. ARRL Pacific Division Director Jim Teamstra, K6JAT, said, quote, "The state of California has not made any determination that ham radio is no longer beneficial," unquote. Speaking of events in California, two separate groups recently took advantage of the Amateur Radio Emergency Data Network to monitor wildfires there. The Mariposa Area Amateur Radio Organization used the Amateur Radio Mesh to stream video from the Briceburg Fire near Yosemite National Park via microwave. The Pleasant Valley Amateur Radio Club employed the Mesh Network to stream video from the Saddle Ridge Fire near Los Angeles from a repeater site overlooking San Fernando Valley. The Briceburg and Saddle Ridge fires are now under control, but archived streams are still available. This is the same network that was used to stream video from the Thomas and Woolsey fires in 2017 and 2018, respectively. SCS, the company that created PacDoor, has unveiled software that offers the ability to monitor the content of PacDoor 1, 2, and 3 transmissions over the air. The free PMON software runs under the Linux operating system. A software version to monitor PacTor 4 is scheduled to become available next year. According to SCS, only minimal hardware is required to use PMON. The equipment complement includes a Raspberry Pi 3 Model B Plus minimum computer and a USB sound device. SES noted in an October 11 news release that all SES PACTOR hardware modems include a command to allow PACTOR monitoring on the fly. The company says PMON now makes this possible without a modem and adds the ability to decode compressed messages, such as WinLink email and others. In DX news, TR-8CR is still making contacts from Gabon and is expected to remain active until December 15th. However, you have just a few days remaining to catch 9J2MYT in Zambia, 9G5GS in Ghana, and T30GC in West Kiribati. 3W9KW is on the air from Vietnam until October 26th, and the Pitcairn Island De-Expedition, VP6R, should be on the air by the time you hear this. They will be on the island until November 1st. This weekend, you have your choice of 8 special event stations that will be on the air for the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary 80th Anniversary. They are W1A, N6Z, W5Z, N4U, N3G, K3G, W4F, and N7Z. Other special event stations on the air this weekend include W5M celebrating Mickey Mantle Day, K4RC at Yorkton, Virginia, commemorating the surrender of Lord Cornwallis, W8SH celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Michigan State University Amateur Radio Club, W1M on the air for Scouting's Jamboree on the air, WB2ELW from the State University of New York Fredonia Minimaker Fair, and K3E celebrating the 95th anniversary of the Elmwood Park Zoo. You'll find complete information in the October issue of QST Magazine.
And now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
AMSAT adopted a goal of amateur radio in every CubeSat. Interested CubeSat programs wanting to fly an amateur radio payload may partner with AMSAT to carry one of these modules on their spacecraft. The first of these partnerships is with the Husky Satellite Lab at the University of Washington. Their 3U CubeSat, Husky Sat 1, is scheduled to launch no earlier than November 2nd. After a 30-day mission to complete tests of its experimental payloads, a pulsed plasma thruster, and a K-band 24 gigahertz communication system, the satellite will be turned over to AMSAT and the VU linear transponder will be made available to the amateur radio community. If you're looking for a few new grids in California on satellite, specifically CM95, CM96, DM05, and DM06, look for David, AD7DB, on a field trip on October 19th. He will be on AO91, AO92, and SO50, as well as PO101 and possibly AO85. Follow his Twitter feed at AD7DB. Thanks to the AMSAT News Service for these updates. I hope to have some interesting news from the AMSAT Symposium next week for you. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and this is the ARRL Audio News Propagation Forecast for Friday, October 18th. Our spotless sun produced a coronal mass ejection a few days ago, but it wasn't directed at us, so don't expect any disruptions to the HF bands. We could be hit with an unrelated stream of solar wind over the next several days, but the effect should be pretty mild. On VHF and UHF, autumn weather is bringing the usual decline in tropospheric band openings, but there are two notable exceptions. Look for possible openings along the Oregon coast and along the coasts of the Carolinas.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.